It is Friday, the 10th of July, 2015, and this is episode 252 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, joined always and ever by Ian.
Evening, Christopher.
So, everyone all right? Friday evening. It's good, isn't it? Weekend's coming.
Murray's just been beaten.
Yeah,
it was a bit disappointing.
He didn't really get beaten as much as got taught a lesson by someone that was on absolute fire.
I mean, like those serves. The whole thing was just ridiculous.
And I think he knew that at the end of the match. It wasn't like he was that peed off. It was just like, done.
No, to me, they both played probably much their A game, and Federer's A game is just slightly better.
It was very pretty tennis.
Damn Swiss.
Anyway. let's talk some tech. Let's talk Reddit, who are not giving up without a fight. They've got a bee in their bonnet at the moment, all these Reddit editors and moderators, basically. So the site's structured so volunteers basically look after these subreddits that go on, and some of them are very, very popular. But the manager that was looking after all those kind of volunteers and helping them out and answering their questions on behalf of Reddit has been fired for what is unknown reasons. And in solidarity and in complaint and in moaning about that firing, load of these subreddit editors, volunteers they've turned their subreddits dark, so it means that no new members can come and access those subreddits. And that's the sort of meat and two veg of what Reddit is, it's causing a bit of stink.
Absolutely. And this was Victoria Taylor, who basically got fired. She was, as you say, good, well respected, but also looked after the Ask Me Anything interviews. Seemingly put up with a lot of hassle. I think the rumor is that she was against Reddit trying to monetize it a bit more, because some of the stuff they were talking about was almost against a lot of the ethos behind it all. And she got bagged, and also Reddit. Remember we covered it a couple of months ago that they shut down some of their most controversial.
There were some pretty ugly topics going on Reddit. They decided they'd take five of them out, and there was a lot of uproar because that's censoring, and they didn't want that. But also it was the selective nature of that censoring that they didn't like as well.
And it just shows you a bit, like, you know, people said that, you know, Dig wouldn't crash, and obviously a lot of people went to Reddit when they started.
Yeah.
The same's happening here. So
it's always by people's outrage and the internet. I'm going to call it the internet. It's collective outrage, isn't it, over things that they don't necessarily, because there's no actual announcement of why this lady was fired. It could have been for gross misconduct, as far as everyone else is concerned. Now, I don't, from the rumor mill that is the internet, it doesn't sound like that, but nevertheless it could be. So, you know, but it is the internet up in arms, and the internet's great for this as well as really terrible at it.
And it's the thing of it's that fine edge between free speech and being able to say what you want, and well, there is a line, and a lot of the subreddits do cross that line quite frequently.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people have been moving to Vote, which is VOAT.co. So it's seemingly this was stood up last year, and then it got a bit more popular when Reddit started censoring some of the subreddits. And it's when you log in, it says straight away, it looks like you're new. Welcome to Vote. Vote is censorship-free community platform. And it looks exactly
And it
like
will
Reddit.
Be up until they get shareholders and they have to figure out how they're going to make some money. And that's the underlying thing of all this. So for years and years, the whole underlying principle has been, if you can attract massive communities of users, then we'll get shareholders because they'll see that massive community of users and see the dollar signs. Now, every single time you try and turn a massive community of users into those dollar signs, the people that are running it. So in this case, there's that many volunteers that actually run this site. They're not willing to give their time for someone else to make money off their own, you know, bat. When we're all in this together, no one's making money. You're just spending a heck of a lot of money without getting anything back. That's all fine. But every time they try and convert these massive communities into money making operations, it's failing. So it's another example of bubbles, really, for me.
No, absolutely. And it probably, I think probably Reddit's too big to go down. You know, it does kind of You know, it just pushes so much content elsewhere. You know, see a lot of the kind of memes you see in Facebook and Twitter, they all originate on or come from something like Reddit. So it's, I don't think it's going to disappear anywhere soon, but probably the first or it's the most serious instance so far.
Absolutely. Theresa May, named Internet Villain of the Year. Home Secretary, for her pushing the Snoopers Charter without actually consulting the sectors. This is the ISPA Awards, so that's Internet Service Provider Awards. This is obviously not one of the wanted gongs, but she's won it nonetheless, and probably quite rightly so. They're just moaning that she doesn't talk to them about this, and there's all this power being delivered without due course of democracy.
Yes, and the thing, there's been other stuff around the Snoopers Charter this week. You know, it's people starting to realise that, I mean, basically the Conservatives are wanting to ban us from using encryption.
Yes.
You know, so there's a whole load of, and I don't know whether it'll come to this, but there's a whole load of things like saying, you know, the UK is going to ban WhatsApp. You're not going to be allowed to use WhatsApp in the UK. It's like, how are you going to stop me?
Yeah, you know, how do you stop? I mean, they probably will have ways, and they won't stop you. They'll just stop WhatsApp. If they, you know, I don't know what the legal position of that is, but in America, it's illegal to have encryption software personally. Certainly of a certain standard, basically encryption that they can't break. You're not allowed.
Yep.
And they must have laws that define that. So no doubt they can be translated in a similar way.
But in the UK seems to be taking a line. And I guess the devil's in the detail, and we'll see later on this summer. But they do seem to be saying we want people to send unencrypted messages. It's like, well, it's,
yeah, of course you want, work. Of course you want to, but yeah. No one wants to send unencrypted messages, because if exactly. You can read it, any bloody person can.
Yeah.
We should big up Tom Watson and David Davis for their action against the data retention laws that were snuck in by all intents and purposes. So good on
them.
Yes,
they were jointly named Internet Heroes.
Yes. Big up to the MPs. Hacking Team. So this is a company, I believe, called Hacking Team. Is that, am I right with that? Now, they are a company set up to effectively sell surveillance technology to governments. And their big selling point was that we only sell to governments, we don't sell to private individuals, and we don't sell to we certainly don't sell to bad governments, only good governments. But they've been hacked, and it turns out that's not strictly true.
No, I think they've been going around for years. I first heard about them last year, and it was when people started talking about them, and there was all this argument about, well, don't worry, we don't do bad things, you know, we're doing this for the good of the community. And not really.
Not strictly true.
No, so government contracts, Kazakhstan, Sudan, Russia, Saudi Arabia, all upstanding members of the international community.
I mean, the thing is, but different parts of the world, they think that. So if you're from those countries, I'm sure you believe it's better than... I'm not getting into that. But basically, emails being sort of leaked around, client lists being leaked around. This is all, and potentially even source code. There's no confirmation of that as well. But if that source code has got out, obviously these are powerful pieces of intergovernmental software.
There was also a zero-day flash exploit that was kind of leaked out by this. So there's been a lot of...
And how long has that been there?
Exactly. But it was unknown, and they were obviously taking advantage of it. And that's now out in the wild, so it's now become a lot more serious, because there's a lot, you know, whether you consider what they were doing was, you know, serious or not, they're saying they were doing hacks to go and get data. They weren't trying to maliciously, you know, damage, you know, home users. But now that zero day exploit's out there, then
how many people are exposed? And who knows how many people were exposed before? But anyway, I mean, they also said that it was only governments they worked with, but it's not true. They have got private companies on their list of people they back, and yes. private individuals as well, or is my overstating?
No, there was some, but FBI and Drug Enforcement Agency was on that list as well. So it's all very interesting.
In a kind of freaky, snoopy way.
It also makes you wonder about how secure they were with their data if they managed to get hacked. And I've no doubt they became a big, big target. I guess any of these kind of groups end up becoming big targets.
The more you go through this, the more that even the companies where security is at their very core, the fact that LastPass got hacked proves that there is always, it doesn't really matter how secure you think something is, there's always a leverage in the most clever ways. Even if it requires access on site, someone is still willing to go and get that job and go and plug that USB stick in. You know, if a nuclear plant in Iran can be hacked by I can't remember what the name of the blooming software was now, but which totally out of Hollywood that was, that whole story.
Anyway. I just apply Chris's first rule on the internet. All my information's out there.
Yeah, which is my first rule, but it's also quite scary. Facebook gives users ability to control what they see first. So this is Facebook giving back users some of the control of their stream. So you can say, I want to see my friend Ian's posts on Facebook above everyone else's. So as soon as Ian posts, I want to be able to see what I post. I've kind of in one sentence summed up why this is good and also why this is terrible.
Because all you got to see this week was a picture of 24 donuts.
Those donuts look good.
They were damn good.
Yeah, I mean, there was not a lack of imagination in whoever put those toppings on. It's good.
Oh no, and the best one was the ones that was called strawberry mother pucker was one of the names of it.
Go and ask for one of those while you're drunk. Was it your birthday? Or was that just what you do?
Thursday, and it was just like, let's go and buy donuts.
Wow, I miss working in an organisation with an office.
And people kept on saying, what's the occasion? Must be your birthday. Are you leaving? What are you celebrating? What's happened? And it was like, we just bought some donuts. Just
done some donuts.
Yeah.
Have a donut.
Have a donut indeed.
But yeah, so it's just a slight tweak, really, more than anything. This is sort of just a tweak to the way their stream works. Listening to the fact that people don't like that they can't control it. So I don't know how many people you can do this see first to. I guess if you do it to your whole friends list, it kind of defeats the object.
Yeah, and I don't know what to think about it. To be honest, some people were commenting saying this is them trying to almost make it a bit Twitter-esque. And that you're choosing to see, but Twitter just gives me, here's 100 people I follow and that's chronological order. And I don't want Twitter to, I know Twitter have talked about doing this kind of thing saying, this is more important, so I'm going to put it, make you see it first.
Yeah.
And I guess Facebook are trying to do the same just because people are, I don't want to see that such and such has played a game. I don't want to see that somebody shared a funny viral video. I want to see.
I am always intrigued by, what it would look like if Facebook was chronological, because, maybe they're totally right. Maybe I really would start getting annoyed with posts that are totally irrelevant. The problem is there are going to be those posts that I'm in this world that Facebook's algorithms define as not important. And therefore, I never actually get to see, but actually for me are important. So it's kind of, I guess this is a way of me highlighting when that might be the case.
I think as well, I can't be arsed training Facebook. I know some people are like saying, show me less of these type of posts and show me that I like this post. But also recently, it's not just, because I just used to like to see everything. And then they started playing around with that, saying, well, you don't really want to see these posts. And it's like, actually, I do.
Yeah. I've blocked a couple of pretty horrific image posts recently. I don't want to see that. But then I think, okay, but you've just taken that information. What are you going to do with that now? Are you going to just show me pictures of kittens? That's not what I want either.
It's interesting you say that because and by the way, Stuxnet.
Yes, that's the one. Well done.
But the interesting thing about Facebook, so one of my colleagues at work came over and he went, this is really, really freaky. He says, have you ever looked at the suggested followers or suggested people to follow? And I went, yeah, every so often. He says, but the ones that came up for me, how does it know? He says, it came up with one of my mate's daughters and my mate's not, he hates computers. I says, but yeah, he's got a shadow profile.
Is the shadow profile.
And he went, what does that mean? I says, he's got a profile and Facebook are tracking whatever he looks at on the internet, even though he's not got a profile on Facebook. No way. I went, yes way.
He is a person that Facebook knows about, even though he has never interacted.
So they know that you know him, probably because you're on forums with him, or there's somebody else, or there's a photo, and they've worked out all the relationships. Anyway, yeah, it popped up with his daughter and said, you know, and I'm like, and I never speak to her. And there was other people that, you know, I worked with ages ago. And then I says, but LinkedIn does the same. I says, no, I said, I know from a LinkedIn that I know it's people where somebody's stupidly sharing all their emails out. Because every so often there'll be a brand new person who I'm on a copied to list, and all of a sudden, do you want to friend them? And I'm like, how do you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've seen plenty of those when I've had one business interaction with one random person, and suddenly they appear. It's like, nah, that's spooky, spooky bad. BBC's Microbit computer. So they've revealed the final design. This is we talked about this a little while back. It's they're in, you know, ability. Yeah, they want to shove this into schools, and they're going to give this to is it 11 and 12 year olds. So they're going to give one to each school child, and basically you can program it. It's got an LED grid on the front of it, which you can program to display numbers, so or letters, for example. It can take sensors. It's got a motion sensor in it. It's got Bluetooth, wireless, and stuff like that. And basically, it's you plug it into a sort of tablet or a laptop, and away you go. You can program this sim thing to for all manner of different things.
Yeah, I think the fact that everybody's going to get one, or every 11, 12-year-old is going to get one, and the fact that BBC are going to push it quite hard can only be a good thing.
I think they said they were going to have a sort of series of TV programs about it, and there's going to be internet-based learning material, so you can learn how to program this thing. And they've done some nice examples of this goal score keeper, if you like, as in, so every time you scored a goal with a little football, it registered the next, you know, how many goals have been scored. So just little simple things. But there you go. That design's been out. I'm not sure of the actual release date of this thing, but it can't be long now they've come to final prototypes.
Yes.
Microsoft been busy writing off $7.6 billion and also announcing nearly 8,000 layoffs. This is for their Nokia branch, which they obviously bought not that long ago, and now they've written off entirely that division. It's pretty ugly.
Yes, we've praised Microsoft for their, you know, newfound openness and getting on every platform and not being scared to release an iOS first and an Android first and all that good stuff. But it just seems, I don't know, maybe they're just realizing this was a bad decision.
Yeah, well, maybe this is their new, that's a bad thing, let's not carry on going, let's chop.
Yeah.
But chopping 7.6 billion off the value is unbelievable. I mean, does it again just say that was such a, you know, a stupid purchase?
Also, it was only 18 months, 2 years ago, wasn't it? It wasn't like a purchase in, like, you know, 2010, and they've been flogging a dead
horse. What can you do with that much money? It's just ridiculous what you can do.
And that many people. You know, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous how much talent that they're just saying, actually, this isn't us. On you go.
But it hasn't been a success for them, and I guess that's why they're doing it, because they haven't managed to make that killer app. Basically, they haven't managed to make the killer operating system, and therefore it doesn't matter whether you have the hardware or not. The hardware is almost secondary nowadays. I know Apple go down that plow that far in a different route, but Android's proved make a good enough operating system, and then the hardware people will take care of that for you.
The bit I was surprised at, you know, so they let a whole load of their a whole load of the mapping businesses went to Uber, because they've said that's not where they want to be. And there's also 1,200 staff went to AOL. And what I'm surprised at is that there was nobody they could sell this to.
No, exactly. And no one's willing to take it on. So it clearly is just...
They must have asked.
It's either that, or they just wanted to strip the value of their company for another reason. And actually they're still going to keep the patents, whatever they've got hidden away there. But they've decided to chop that value off their business for another reason. Who knows?
And it's interesting, patents, we just never hear about them anymore. No. Patents were big news for what, maybe two and a half years?
I think we talked about it for like 4 years.
I mean, that was what it finally did for Henry. It was just like being a patent expert was just too much for him. But
No, you're right, we don't talk about it. I think it's still going on. I think there are just more agreements happened quietly because everyone realised how ugly it all looked and how ridiculous it sounded.
Yes.
Amazon is going to mark its 20th anniversary with what they're calling Prime Day. So this is a day of deals for Prime members. So if you want to pay for that subscription, you can do. And they're offering a reduction in that subscription cost for a short period of time if you want to get on board just ahead of Prime Day. They're saying this is going to be more deals than on Black Friday. They don't mention whether that's value or just number.
Yeah. So this is this coming Wednesday. So July 15th.
Yeah, so if you want to get on board, you've got to jump on now. Because it's, I think they've, was it 79 down to 59 quid? So 20 quid saving on, still a lot of deliveries, isn't it, to make that?
It is bad, but see the whole, oh, what a Raspberry Pi. Yeah, it'll come tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I know, it's nice. But if you actually add it all up, if you don't use their music service, you don't use their video service and whatever other things that come with it, and maybe you don't have that second person in your household that wants to, you know, also use it, you've got to buy a lot of Raspberry Pis for that to, for the $4.99 delivery cost for next day.
I don't buy a lot of pies, but I buy a lot of stuff.
Yeah, other things. Okay. Anyway, that who knows? It looks like they're trying to make this day their own kind of thing. You know, this.
What's amazing? 20th anniversary.
I know. Yeah, I know.
You know, it's 20 years since I graduated.
Before they turned to Amazon, didn't Amazon buy someone else out? Was it? I can't remember what the blooming name of it was now. I'm sure I bought something from Amazon really early doors. And then before Amazon, I'm sure there was something else. Something jungle related.
I didn't know that.
I'm sure it was something jungle related. Anyway, Apple are increasing their control over their stores. If you want to sell have you got something interesting?
No, I'm shaking my head because this is just awful. But anyway, okay. Carry on. Sorry.
Now, if you want to be an accessory seller for Apple now, so third-party accessory seller, and you want to sell in their stores, by gosh, you cannot sell in your own boxes anymore. You must have Jony Ive's input into what your boxes look like. So basically, they want every single accessory box to be as good a quality as their own home-brewed ones. And obviously, the people that have got on board and I guess are still on Apple's good books will comply, and therefore their accessories will still get sold in the stores. It's a little bit obsessive, isn't it?
It's just getting a bit much.
Yeah.
You know, so when do they start saying, actually, it's not just boxes, we're going to do your product design because it does not meet our standards?
Well, surely that's the next logical thing. Or they'll just say, they'll just keep rejecting every, you know, up until the point that someone's goes bust trying to meet their requirements.
And we've seen things like, you know, Fitbits were kicked out of the store, you know, and although they've been selling them for what, probably 2 years, it was like, you know, in the run up to, you know, health coming out and Fitbit not sharing data, it was like, well, get out, we don't need it. And it was the same when they bought Beats, and I'm trying to remember, what was other headphone makers that then decided to sue Beats. And then we're like, okay, we'll just remove your products.
I wonder how much impact that has, and how much, you know, does that have a big impact? I guess it does, just being that association and people just being buying their product in store.
The traffic in these stores is ridiculous. I mean,
people are always looking to buy a little thing, aren't they? They don't always want to buy the big things.
I know, but so if I go into the Glasgow store and I'm talking about the main one in town, and you go up the stairs, there's always people around the headphones. There's always people. And there's always a buzz. It's never quiet. It's just it's always full. And I know they've got the free Wi-Fi, and some folk are just in mooching around and, you know, having a look. But all you need to do is look at how much they sell, and it must take a dent, must do, because there's so many casual people that just walk in, and they get the coaching and they'll say, "What's a good set of headphones? Oh, one of these six."
Any of those will do. Look at the packaging. It says everything you need to know.
And that's the thing. So it's now, I just think it's such a, I don't know, douche move just to say that this packaging must be, I mean, you see I don't know if you've seen the photos. They're all white.
Yeah, of course they are. White. They're all going to look homogenous, nice photography. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, whether it's a doofus move or not, they don't seem to make many doofus moves, because it doesn't matter what they do. They've got religious followers, basically. So doesn't make any difference. GoPro Hero 4 Session, smallest smart action camera ever produced by GoPro, for sure. Still quite expensive. It's like $400. But this thing is a tiny little cube. I'd say kind of the size of 4 sugar cubes. Would you say something along those lines? That's kind of the size it feels.
Yeah, it looks like it. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah,
and it's but it still shoots. It shoots 1080p at 60 frames per second, so which is fine. 720p, 100 frames a second, great. It's waterproof out of its little, you know, out the packaging. It doesn't need a separate case to sit in. It's got 2 microphones which help with wind noise, so it can actually deviate from one microphone to the other based on whether one's getting wind noise and the other one not. And it's compatible once it's in its little holding frame, its clipping frame. It can. It's compatible with all your other mounts that you've already got for your GoPro. This thing looks pretty cool. It's got quite good battery life. I think someone said it was 2 hours continuous recording. If you're turning on and off your camera, it doesn't obviously, you know, that in real terms will last you half a day maybe.
Yeah. And as you say, I mean, the price, I mean, what they're saying is it's roughly about $329. You know, it should be the kind of maybe street price UK, but I think that's people assuming that the $399 will translate over into
that sounds about right. I think the sites I've seen have been 329, but they're not taking orders for the next couple of days when they'll first start taking orders. But yeah, quite exciting move. Downsides being that you have to control it all via the smartphone app. So the only way you can change the actual settings you're using is via the smartphone app.
But everybody's got a smartphone. I don't think that's a big issue anymore. And see when you see the side by side with the Hero 4. And you'd realise that the size of this is basically just the camera part now, rather than the casing around it and the bigger box. It is a significantly smaller
design. Yeah, it's amazing. And for someone like me, thinking of my racing antics, it'd be a great little thing to have just because it's much, much less drag than having a massive box trailing around on top of it. As we say massive is like a GoPro's massive. GoPro's tiny, but this thing is micro.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty cool. I like what I like the Cubist. Cubist in me likes it. And because of the little clip it goes in, it's kind of, you can rotate your camera any way you want it to go into that clip. So it actually gives you a bit more flexibility as well.
And I think the fact that it supports all, because GoPro is now, has become the brand with all the add-ons and attachments that you're, you know, the fact that you can use them all.
Yeah, you can, there's loads of mounts out there. One will be right for you. So there, all want one, basically.
Want.
Yeah, definitely. But I'd rather it was another 100 quid cheaper. We'll see. In time it will.
Actually, one of the guys at work is actually tempted to buy that EE one that came out, because I think it was £12 a month, including the 4G on it as well.
Okay.
So it wasn't.
Yeah, I have little things in my mind thinking, ooh, GoPro with a Wi-Fi and a phone stuck inside my camera, my car, and I could actually broadcast live now. Because they had that hookup with, I don't know, with Ustream or someone like that. You could hook live broadcast up.
Yeah.
Still, that's going to... I don't think I'm allowed to do that from broadcasting rights, but we'll see. Maybe one day. Well, no one. The 3 people that watched it and found out it didn't really work very well. Have we got any picks today?
I've actually got a plethora of picks, but let's just leave it. It's a nice podcast.
We've droned on in the last 2, haven't we, a bit? So let's get within the half hour. And let's just say, if you want to find out more about us, what we do, digitaloutbox.com is the website. info@digitaloutbox.com is email address. Twitter is digitaloutbox as well, if you want to get in contact as far as that. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. And if you want to follow along my racing antics, academyracer.co.uk, racing next weekend is... With a fixed engine, which is going to be good. Where can we find you, Ian?
I won't be racing next weekend, but I will be blogging on ed.net and twittering at Sweeper.
Wonderful. Let's go enjoy the evening. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Ta-da.